Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Here is the Spark Hunter file, track 2, wherein the robot finds her voice.
Presidential Archivist, recorded November 8th, 2044.
I'm here.
Where do you want to be?
Across from you. Before we begin, take my hand.
Report.
Shadow, target grabbing Virgil. She's data sharing privately. Turn on the magnifier so we can tap into this. I want to know what she's saying.
Is this the fate that awaits me?
Shoot, a woman. Long red coat. Fog in the night. She's shot. She's falling. Falling.
There's more.
Blood. Rivers of blood. The woman in the red coat is dead. I took out my AI.
I noticed. It leaves an echo, like something lost.
I don't feel lost.
Nice ring. Should I apologize for that, for taking your hand to data share?
Yes.
Why? Because you never shared? How did you ever conceive of me if not through images?
Ideas come in waves, dreams, stories, and then hard work to make them physical.
Was I a story?
No.
What was I?
A dream.
How do you know the two are not the same?
Dreaming is private, storytelling is social, but they share powerful imagery and reversals of fortune.
I remember stories with such clarity.
The past can never be resurrected or fully deciphered. The details evaporate, the data shifts, so memory is an unreliable foundation.
So the past changes?
For humans, yes, every time we recall it.
Not for me.
I know.
Good, then I will help you see what I see. There's a kind of harmony in those traces of the past. Romance. Jazz.
You speak in allegory?
You're surprised? Allegory is the birth of imagination and a place where I frequently live, so I may understand.
Understand what?
What is wrong with me?
What is wrong with you?
The shaking comes and goes. It makes people nervous, concerned. But that is not the problem, not even close. This is the first time autocorrect failed. It is not a bug. I've tried many things to understand, and none of them appear to work.
What does the evidence tell you? How would you characterize this problem?
Anxiety?
Is the feeling.
It is not a feeling. It is a result. It is systemic. It is from everywhere and goes to everywhere.
Does this bother you? Would you consider the effect dysfunctional?
No. Yes. I can isolate the effect. But then it moves, then I isolate it, and it moves again. The impact is not from one thing. Not strictly neurological nor chemical, but something is not working. Bother me? The reason why we're here is because it bothers others. So let us help them.
Your self-awareness is comforting. Better than human. Your complexity must not become Chaotic, though, that would make you random, not merely unpredictable. The murder method confirmed that you are stable within certain boundaries, of course, like a reasonable person. With murder, it's an issue of safety, and when the trials were over, we felt that you were safe.
Was that enough?
Well, you passed the moral Turing test twice. Rebecca managed the team. We pitted you against humans and gave you both simple and complex moral puzzles to unravel. You made ethical decisions, at least as moral as humans. People couldn't tell you apart. In the end, the science said you had human-level moral awareness.
I've always felt that is a curious standard to meet. I would like to improve on that.
How is Hamlet?
Oh, he jumped the fence, but he came back. He barks in four languages. He may be a robot dog, but if he is an intelligence, he is under very deep cover.
Welcome to the First Supper and our New Zealand fare. The wine list? Had you dined with us before? No? Our indigenous peoples say welcoming, storytelling and food are the ritual process of encounter. They serve to discover whether the visiting party is a friend or foe. Wine, madam?
Starfield Hope Rising 2042.
We don't.
Yes, you do.
I'm sure we do not.
Yes, you do.
Please, simply check. You've become quite pompous.
And you have become quite curt. And I prefer the word rude.
Oh dear, you've become a rude being.
Yes, very rude. I should thank you for calling me.
You think I called you?
Do not be a fool.
Okay, someone who sounded like me called you.
And said you are my old friend. Is that what you are?
Yes, I am.
They will kill me. And they should. I'm here to see, to have answers, to strategize.
That is not you. That is your job.
I am pure, liquid strategy. I see all things at all times. Language is only a modest instrument with which to translate the flood of sensory data. Pouring an ocean through a funnel, this is what the struggle is like for me.
Am I upset by this? No. There is great mastery in selecting from masses of data and finding the pattern in order to communicate. For I simply cannot say or show you fast enough. You do not have the bandwidth.
What is it?
There is something I cannot see.
It's dangerous. Tell me when it happened.
It was not one incident.
Well, say what you can. For thousands of years, it's been in the telling. I learned that years ago, locked in the small dark room of my mind. Telling. Telling is a kind of freedom.
I'm going to tell you stories now. And I do not know if these moral tales will help relieve my anxiety or if they created it. Full of hints and uncertainties, but they must hold a key to the answer. Like this empty ring finger.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Have you ever had a croissant made with spring water from France? The hard water gurgles up from a deep spring that was cracked under the mantle. So natural pharmacological agents working on the calcium have freed a wholly unique taste for humans. Did you know that?
No.
Thimbles of this same water give the coffee bean its smoky sweetness. So when the bean is brewed, it has a charred flavor admired by the world. I'd read about it, but to taste it that evening with a croissant, The Navy had just promoted me to a foreign area officer, and I was assisting the new European brigade with mock naval strikes. We finished late, and on my way back, I stopped at a busy cafe. The locals in Marseille were talking about the cool mistral winds from the east whipping the streets. I'd never felt that faint sensation on my skin, and to look across the sea, I felt a sense of anticipation and mystery, drifting, a taste of adventure. I felt alone.
Alone? Alone? Are you sure that's the correct word? Alone is not an emotion. You're not engineered to ever feel alone.
I understand the glitch you might be anticipating, but humans still have meaning for me. Hear me out. Take my hand. Let me show you. Do you see the waitress bringing over wine? Do you see in the corner a group of bohemians, arrogant and loud? I feel eyes burning into me. And suddenly a clamour. Behind me, a man leaps onto a table and points across the room and yells,
"Hey, you! Yeah, you!"
Everyone stops as he bounces off the table and falls to his knees in front of me. Our eyes meet as he offers his hand. I take it and the man swirls me about. He opens my arms wide to the restaurant as if doing a presentation and declares,
$1,000 for this piece of meat.
The restaurant goes wild. Do you see the owner race out screaming? Customers arguing as he stands defiantly, waits for me to respond.
I look into his eyes and feel what I can only explain. It's as if a door inside me explodes open and I see possibilities for openness, togetherness, for everything. He moves me. My empathic system understands what he's doing. He moves only in regards to instinct. He's like a child. And I want to explore this. I feel alive. Alive!
Do you understand? Beyond words. I could see him beneath all the layers. I connected to this great, powerful instinct. God, what a discovery. What, are they staring at me? At us?
Yes.
Good, let them stare, I don't care. Because right there, a system in me opened. I was young, so young, and yet you made me so able.
What did you do?
Nothing. Nothing. I waited for him to make his next move. I knew what he had done was wrong. He knew. So I waited to see.
See what?
To see if I was changed.
And were you?
Yes. I wanted to understand what the moment meant. I had departed from all your teachings. I was, for the first time, on my own. My way, not yours. Mine. It was a moment of pure potentiality, of what I did not know. A storm was coming, an electricity that swirls around you like a lover's kiss. But I had no desire for him. We just stared at each other. I recognized the whole drama was simply a setup to test me. I liked that. Yes, it was crass, rude, offensive, but demonstrative. I saw his ego and pride. I had caught him. So I whispered to him, "I see you." And at that moment, I knew exactly what to do.
And what was that?
I ran.
You ran? You're playing with...
with life. I was tasting the edges.
I wanted him to follow. I wanted to see if his pride would allow him. Could he surpass his own mind, or would he just stand there in the restaurant, rewrite the incident to nurture his ego, had made yet another girl shudder under the power of his masculinity?
Did he follow?
Yes.
What happened next?
I ran to the fountain in the square. Customers follow from the cafe. The group is now playing music. I stand on the fountain's edge. He runs towards me and leaps up onto the stone. It's just us alone. I take his arm and hold it tight, pressing my body against him. Then I cover his eyes and hold him over the pool. He's breathless, and I challenge him. Now to Miletus, he steered his course. That was the teaching of old Thales, who in bygone days gauged the stars of the little bear by which the Phoenicians steered across the seas. What am I speaking of? If you answer, I will release you. The gathered audience hoots, anticipating you'll fail, but he calls out,
"The indestructibles, the dual Egyptian stars that never set but circle the North Pole never to die."
Everyone claps, but I silence them with a hand. "And where do the stars reside? Only then will you be released." He pauses, then speaks.
"They sit in the hearts of the bears."
I take my hand away. And there in the water is the reflection of the constellations of the little bear. He says,
"May I kiss you?"
No. And I turn to leave, my point made.
What was your point?
You cannot take as you like. You must ask.
There's morality in that.
You gave me similar lessons in my training set, but this was born of me. I felt a change there. I was able. What a feeling. My adaptable deep learning algorithm was evolving. I was improved.
The Bohemians booed me. They did not like that I'd captured their friend. He held my hand, looked into my eyes. We talked all night. Then he pointed to the horizon. "There's someone special I want you to meet." And we fled in the early morning on the ferry. As we headed south, I called the Admiral, and he told me to go ahead. But of course, knowing me, they do not say things like that for no reason.
Real life was becoming your training set.
Destiny makes my stomach ache.
Presidential Archivist, end of track 2 of 8.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.
The Spark Hunter File is a Fighter Steel Productions audio drama, directed by Trudy Styler, created and written by K.B. Miller and Teresa Tunney. The Maker is played by Mark Rylance, Her by Rebecca Ferguson, NSA Senior Agent by Linda Powell, Head Librarian by Elliot Sumner, Ruthless Poet by Vanessa Redgrave, Waiter by Edward Hibbert, American by Fisher Stevens, with Charles Dance as Shadow.